If you were to follow the children upstairs just now, one of the classrooms up the stair has on the wall some extracts from the story that we've just been reading in 1 Samuel chapter 3. Some of the words are there, some pictures are there that depict parts of the story. It's a wonderful story, isn't it? Wonderful story for children about this child, Samuel, whose name God called, how that during that night God came near to him, stood beside him, and called to him by his own name, and how eventually Samuel responds to the word of God. I think, however, it would be a mistake if we consigned this story to the Sunday school only. I think it has a message that comes to all of us at whatever stage of life we find ourselves in. And the message is this, that not just in a whisper, but loud and clear, God calls to all of us. And God speaks to all of us personally and by our name. And that's a great lesson. You know, this wasn't a one-off type of point that was being made here, that God speaks to us by name. If you think about it, there are illustrations of this throughout the entire Bible. God spoke to Moses when he walked in the back of the desert, looking after his sheep one day from a bush. He called to him by name and said, "Moses, you know, this is holy ground, and I've got a job for you to do." He spoke to Elijah as he was in the cave, worried and harassed, frightened. He said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He spoke to him in a still small voice. He spoke to Simon Peter under intense temptation. And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, I have prayed for you." He spoke to Mary, Martha, others. Their names were mentioned. In fact, on one occasion, somebody took a report and said, "The Master has come and he's calling for you." And that's the case this morning. God calls our names. That's his very nature. That's what God does. He's not silent. He doesn't isolate himself. It's in his very nature to speak. When God spoke and said it was light, let there be light, there was light. And when God wanted to speak his love in the fullest sense, he spoke the incarnation, because the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And although in time past God spoke in many times and in a variety of ways to the fathers by the prophets, in these last days he speaks to us in the fullest possible way, and in the final way he speaks to us in the person of his Son. So let all of us, you know, take to our hearts the fact that God speaks to us personally and by name. Recently, I was reading about a former US president, and he was being kind of encouraged to run for office at this stage in his life, and he was weighing up all the possibilities. And he describes how that he was sitting with his family in a church service, and the preacher was talking about the story of Moses. And how God spoke to Moses from the burning bush, and Moses came up with a variety of excuses how he couldn't go. And he describes how he was aware of some kind of movement along the pew, and how his mother was leaning forward, looking at him and mouthing the words, "He's speaking to you." You know, in some ways that is not a good illustration, because it would be easy for all of us to look at the person down the road and say, "He's speaking to you." And the truth of the matter is God is speaking to all of us. You know, it's for us to take these things personally this morning. And so this is what we're going to be trying to look at. We're going to be looking at a couple of points regarding the two main characters that are in the chapter. The old man, the priest, Eli. And the point that's made from verse number one about the situation at that time was that the word of God was rare. And then we're going to come to speak about Samuel, the young boy, in contrast. And it's mentioned on a couple of occasions throughout the passage that the word of the Lord was revealed to Samuel. So let's think about Eli first of all, because God had spoken to Eli as well. I mean, Eli had a long career as the high priest in Israel, and God's word had come to him on many occasions. But on this particular time, the word of God bypasses him. You know, you visualize the scene. They're lying down in the tabernacle in Shiloh. The lights are nearly out and everything else is quiet. In fact, it comes to mind that there was an old children's hymn, you know, about this very situation. I think it must have been written in Victorian times. Some of you maybe remember that. Hushed was the evening hymn. You know, the temple courts were quiet when suddenly the voice divine was heard. And you know, there are two people and they're asleep in different rooms in the precincts of the tabernacle. The old man in one, the young boy in the other. And the word of God on this occasion bypasses the old man and comes to the young boy. Now, why did that happen? Why was it that the old man was not aware on this occasion of God standing next to him and calling him by name? Well, this is a tragic point, but it's a point that I think needs to be made. And it's this, that Eli, over the course of time, had hardened his heart to the voice of God. What had happened was this: he'd allowed other things to crowd in, and he was distracted, and there was too much static, there was too much background noise, if you like, that he had allowed to crowd into his life, and he wasn't listening. Perhaps he was hearing, but he wasn't listening to the word of God. For instance, if you go back to chapter 2 and verse number 27, you have an example of how God did speak to Eli by name. When a man of God came to Eli and said to him, "This is what the Lord says." And God spoke to Eli. He spoke to him about the situation that was prevailing, about the behavior of his sons, about his responsibility. And it doesn't seem as though he was listening, because nothing happens. He heard what God said, but he didn't listen to what God says. And there is a description that's given here in chapter 3. I mean, in a sense, it's a physical description of what was actually taking place that night. But I think it gives us a degree of insight into the spiritual condition of the man. It says, first of all, that in those days the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many open visions. It was a very rare thing for God to speak at this particular time. People hardly ever heard the word of God. They could hardly remember being aware of God speaking to them. And the reason for that was because of the spiritual condition of the priest. God was speaking. He was the man who was meant to transmit the message to the people. It wasn't happening. He wasn't able to process this. If you look at verse number 2, it says that his eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see. Now, that was obviously a physical description of the man. His eyesight was poor, but in a sense, you know, that was true spiritually of him. He had lost his sense of spiritual vision. He wasn't hearing, and he wasn't seeing either. One level, it reminds me of what Duncan was pointing out to us last week, actually, from Acts chapter 28, when Paul reached Rome. And he gathered round about him some of the Jewish religious leaders who were in the city, and he began to explain to him the gospel, and they weren't interested in it. And Paul spoke to them from the prophet, and he said, "The Holy Spirit spoke the truth to your forefathers when he said through Isaiah the prophet, 'Go to this people and say, you will be forever hearing, but never understanding. You will be forever seeing, but you will never perceive. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears. They've closed their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts and turn, and I would heal them. That's exactly the situation that this man Eli is in. Goes on to say something else actually in verse number 3. I know again it's just a physical description. When it says that the lamp of God had not yet gone out. You know, it was just flickering away there as the night was coming in and they were all going to their bed. But in a sense, it gives us a bit of an insight too into what was going on in the nation. The lamp of testimony was flickering. You know, God's word was rare. Nothing was happening. The people are not aware of God's message. The lamp is nearly out. And all of this was happening because of the spiritual condition of this man's heart. Now this is a very kind of pointed area that we have to consider today. We're talking about God speaking our name. God had spoken to Eli, but look at how he responds to that. Is it possible for us that we have allowed other things to crowd out the voice of God in our lives? Remember, the Lord Jesus told us the story, the parable of the sower. And he talked about that category where the cares of the world are just like thorns that choke the life of the word of God. You know, the deceitfulness of wealth and of riches, which choke the word and strangle the word, and it never grows. That's the principle. Am I hearing, but I'm not listening to what God says? Do I have an interest in reading and thinking about and obeying the word of God? Do I have a thirst for the word of God? Or are there other priorities that are crowding in on my life? That is the situation that Eli reminds us about. Well, in contrast to that, God speaks to Samuel. His word is revealed to this boy. He draws near to him and he speaks to him by name. Now, a couple of points about this. First of all, there is an element of confusion, isn't there, in the situation. Samuel's not quite aware of what's going on. You know, he runs back and forth saying to Eli, I heard your voice. It was you who called to me. And of course Eli wakens up and says, no, I had nothing to do with this. And it's only eventually that they perceive that this is God who's speaking. Now, the interesting point that's made in verse number 7 is that Samuel at this point did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. Isn't this quite a surprising thing in many ways? I mean, this boy has been here in the tabernacle for a number of years. I mean, we know that. We know that, you know, his mother used to come up year by year and, you know, make a new little coat for him. So he had been there for quite some time under the kind of tutelage of this man, Eli. He'd been involved in the service of the tabernacle. You know, he looked after the doors. He looked after the lamps. He did what he was told. He watched the worshippers coming in. He was part of the whole thing. And yet, up until this night, he doesn't actually know the Lord yet. You know, that's maybe, a little word of warning to many of us. You know, that it is possible that we come around the things of God. And we do that for a variety of reasons, because of other family members, because of force of custom or habit. And, you know, and we can be part of the whole thing. You know, it's maybe temperamentally we just quite like this kind of situation. And yet it's possible that we really never personally have heard the word of God being revealed to us. And we don't actually know the Lord yet. And so it comes as a challenge to us that we might hear the Lord speak to us by name and that we might respond to him. It is interesting the way that it's phrased. It says that the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. You know, there are two sides to listening to God's message. You know, sure, we can harden our hearts to it. We can cover over our ears like Eli did. But there is another side to it, and that is that God is the one who does reveal his word to us. It starts with God, because very few of us have any real interest, and very few of us have the ability to do this. But God takes the first step, and God initiates things, and he reveals himself to us, and he waits for us to respond to that. And that's a wonderful point, you know, because we need God to open our hearts, and we need the Lord to speak to us first. And this idea of revelation, that God comes and moves and reveals himself, is a very important thing. And God will reveal himself to babes and to those who seem the most inadequate. And at one level, God delights to do that. And for even the youngest who's in the audience today, you know, God can reveal himself to you. In fact, the Lord Jesus prayed on one occasion and gave thanks to God and said, "I thank thee, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have revealed these things unto babes." You know, they've been hidden from the wise and from the prudent, but they have been revealed to babes because that was your pleasure to do so. And you remember that occasion up in Caesarea Philippi when Peter made his great confession of faith in Christ. "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And the Lord Jesus said, "You're blessed, Peter, because flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you. But my Father which is in heaven, he has revealed it." It was a point of revelation. And we can only respond when God reveals himself first to us. And the great, of course, encouragement today is this, that God is revealing himself to us through his word. That point is made quite clear at the end of the passage, verse number 21. "The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh." Things change. The lamp of God does not go out. The word of the Lord is now, praise God, no longer a rare thing to happen. "But the Lord continues to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel." How? Through his word. And after that happened, Samuel's word then came to Israel. And that's perhaps a point that we need to talk about. How does God reveal himself? You know, perhaps we would get the kind of impression from this chapter that we have to wait for a voice audibly that happens to us in the same way as it happened here to Samuel. You know, there are many spirits, as John the Apostle would put it, that have gone out into the world today. And we have to test the spirits to see whether they are from God or not. And sometimes it can just be my imagination. Sometimes I can hear the voices that I want to hear, and it's not necessarily the right voice. And we have to test these things to see whether they are from God or not. And the only way that we can really test them, in all honesty, is if it's in the Bible or not. I mean, this is the word of God. And this is how God continued to reveal himself to Samuel. It was through his word. And that is how God continues to reveal himself to us. It is through his word. I was reading recently about a preacher who was standing after the service, greeting some of the people who had been there. And he was aware of an older couple who were obviously trying to catch his eye. And they were visibly moved. And when they got the chance to speak to him, the gentleman said, "We're starving, you know." And he was talking about being spiritually starved, you know. He said, "We're starving. we've been going along to this particular place and things have changed and, you know, the Word of God is not being taught to us anymore. And we've been trying to, you know, stick it out, and but we just feel we're absolutely starving spiritually. And how good it was to be here today and to be fed from the Word of God, to have God's Word revealed to us, to hear God speak to us today. And without a shadow of a doubt, I say to you, if you want to hear the Word of God, the way you hear the Word of God is through this book. You know, so we can test actually whether we are listening, or we can test whether we have only been hearing. And we can test that by our interest in studying the Word, of being here when the Word of God is being opened and taught, of being involved in the other occasions, personally at home, perhaps more collectively, when the Word of God is there for discussion and teaching. That is a test of our interest and our response in the Word of God. You know, there was an evangelist on one occasion visiting a rural area, and he could only be in this particular place for one night. And there were a number of people who were interested in the message that he was preaching from the Word of God. And he spoke to one girl who was more or less illiterate. And he had to decide how he could best help her. And he said, I have a prayer for you. In fact, I have two prayers that I would like you to say from your heart. And when I come back, we can speak about this a little bit further. And I think he referred to them as the five finger prayers. And he said, the first prayer I'd like you to make is this: Lord, show me myself. And the second one is, Lord, show me yourself. Show me my sin as I look at myself. Show me your glory as I look at yourself. And the story that I read about this was that when he visited and came back to that area, the result of, from the heart, making these two requests to God is enough to bring a person to a genuine experience of God in their lives. These are the two things that are required as far as our response to God is concerned. Samuel gives the response that is required. The Lord draws near as at other times in the boy's room, speaks to him in the darkness of the night. And on this occasion, when he says, Samuel, he responds by saying, speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. I'm not just hearing this, I am listening. I'm listening to what you have to say. Now that is the response that the Lord requires from us, irrespective of where we are in our lives. And speak, Lord, to me. I want to hear your words. I'm listening. I'm listening. I'm alert. And I'm listening. I think the Word of God that came to Samuel perhaps wasn't really what was expected. I mean, what I mean by that is this, that it wasn't a message of comfort. He spoke to Samuel, and it wasn't to give him words of reassurance. He was giving him a task to do, and it was actually a fairly difficult task that he had given to him. It was a task about Eli and Eli's house. And the expectation was that Samuel, young although he was to take and deliver that message. And it was actually a kind of test case for Samuel. And it was only because he did this that he was taken to the next level, and God continued to use him, and his word continued to come to Israel, and he was seen and recognized as being a prophet of God. But it was a difficult thing, and you know, Samuel didn't sleep after that. You know, you can imagine him being restless and tossing and turning and worrying about this, and being fearful actually about the message that God gave to him. He had said, I'm listening. I'm open to what you're saying. I want to hear and respond. And now this message came, and what was he going to do with it? A bit like us, I suppose, today. We've sang that, "Speak, O Lord." You know, "Speak, Lord, to me." And here is what the word was, if I can just summarise it from verse number 14. God reminded him that the guilt of Eli's house would never be atoned for by sacrifice or by offering. Now, a boy was to give that message to the very person by name. "Eli, your house and its guilt, that will never be atoned for by sacrifice or by offering." Now, this was taking place in the temple precincts, you know. And the whole point about the tabernacle as it was set up, the whole point of the thing was to do with atonement. How people could learn that they could come to God and that they could worship God, but they could only do that on the basis of sacrifice. There was a cost to atonement. And that was the life of an animal. And this was happening every day. That was what the whole thing was about. And yet this point is being made. Eli's guilt will never, ever be atoned for. Well, what a message to have to give. Now, the point I'd like to make is, obviously, this was a highly unusual thing. I guess it would fall into the category of what the Lord Jesus referred to on one occasion when he talked about the unforgivable sin. He said, you know, all manner of sin will be forgiven people, but blaspheming against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. I think this is an example of this. When a person persistently hardens their heart against the voice of the Spirit of God speaking to them and goes against what God says, there is never going to find a place of atonement or forgiveness if that attitude is persevered with. Now, the thing that we can, of course, take heart from is this, that this is the only sin that is said to be an unforgivable sin. Any other sin, whatever that sin may be, and in fact, if you are worried that you may have committed the unpardonable sin, that probably is a reflection that your heart is reasonably soft and you haven't hardened it to the part of persistent resistance to God. So there are two things that I have to do. Number one is this. I have not to cause undue concern in people's hearts by undermining their sense of assurance in their salvation. But secondly, I have to be faithful to the Word of God and make the point that if people persist in their sin to harden their heart to the Word of God, nothing will deal with that. So these are the two points, really, that have to be made. And Samuel has to take that message. Now, here he is the next morning, having his porridge with Eli. And what did the Lord speak to you? And Samuel, it says, was afraid. He was afraid to give the message. But Eli persists, and he does reveal it to him. And he delivers that message to the old man who takes it. Now, just a point as we close, and it's this. If we hear God's voice, and God's voice is often the voice, like in this case, that gives us a task to do for him, you know, although we might feel intimidated, and although we might feel fearful, you know, God expects us to move ahead in his strength. You remember what was said to Jeremiah? Same kind of situation when God called to him by name. "Do not be afraid of their faces. Don't be fearful. You take the message and you go on with that." I remember reading about a preacher who said that the time when I stand up in the pulpit and I look down on the congregation and I see people of influence or whatever who are there, And I feel afraid to the point that it stops me from delivering the word of God. That is the time to stop being a preacher. Don't be afraid. You give that message. Samuel passes the test. And what follows on as far as his development is concerned, as I said before, is a direct result of his obedience. The obedience is the path to spiritual progress. And he would never have become a prophet in Israel if he had fallen down here. That's true for all of us, actually. That's what stunts spiritual growth. That's what explains spiritual growth retardation. You know, it's when we hear the word of the Lord and for one reason or another, maybe through fear, we don't follow through and obey it. But Samuel's obedience and his development is obvious. Look at the way that it describes him. Verse number 19. The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of his words fall to the ground. That's a wonderful verse. When people listened to Samuel speak, it was obvious that God's spirit was behind his words, that God's hand was upon Samuel, and his words came with a sense of authority. I mean, it wasn't as if Samuel was given a new job title. It wasn't as if Samuel was given a new position. It was just the fact that there was a sense of moral authority and of spiritual power and truth about the words that Samuel spoke, and everybody recognized it. People knew it. It says that. All Israel recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of God. And that's what happens when we respond to God's word. And thankfully, the word of God is no longer a rare thing. The word of God comes to the people now. Samuel delivers the word of God to all Israel. You know, for all our faults and failures, I think what we can say is that at least from this place, week by week, the word of God is spoken. You can come here with a sense of confidence that God's word will be opened, and we'll try our best to explain what's there. And so we can all have that attitude that has been highlighted here, that God will speak to me. He'll speak to me personally. And I can come with that attitude of heart which says, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." May God's word have been heard by all of us today. May we have all recognized, with the variety of points that we've learned out of this passage, that God is speaking to us by name. The word of the Lord is not rare here. The word of the Lord is being revealed. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.